Dear Lord, we're grateful once again for life. We're grateful, Lord, that we can assemble together, Lord, in your house. As your brothers already said, we're thankful, Lord, for a church that we can come together in and worship you, to fellowship, Lord, to labor together, Lord, for the cause of Christ, Lord, and for the benefit of others, Lord, when others have needs. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for every person that comes to this church, attends, and does anything. We know all jobs are important. God, we ask you now, Lord, as we stand before your people and we open your word. Dear God, please help us, Lord, to bring honor to you. God, help your children today to be encouraged, to be strengthened from the word of God as we open it together now. Bless those that are not able to be here today. Strengthen them and help them. And thank you again for everyone that's here. That's our business. We pray, Lord, you bless them together. Now, have your will and way, and all we say and do, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in Luke chapter 18, we'll begin reading with verse number 1. You know, it's interesting to see how Jesus teaches with parables many times. Parables. Give us things we need to know and how to help us. And we look at it one today, in Luke chapter 18, in verse number 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because the widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You know, that last phrase in that verse has stuck out to me for weeks now. Nevertheless, Jesus said, when the Son of Man, now who is that? That's Jesus. When Jesus cometh, shall he find faith where? On the earth. When the Lord comes, will he find faith on the earth? That's an astounding statement, is it not? Will he find faith on the earth? Now notice this parable here. First of all, we find in verse number 1, we find the purpose of it. The purpose of it. Notice he says, and he spake a parable to them to this end. Notice he says that men ought always to what? Pray and not to faint. We ought always to pray and not to faint. Now this is the purpose of this parable here, teaching us to pray and not to faint. Oftentimes do we get caught in things sometimes in our life, circumstances or situations, and instead of praying about it, we go ahead and take charge ourselves and we wind up fainting, don't we? We wind up fumbling the ball, so to speak, rather than praying. So God is trying to encourage us here to pray for things. No matter what situation we're facing in life, learn first to pray. Pray before we do anything. Pray before we make any decisions in life. We ought always to pray and not to faint. Okay, so this is the purpose of this parable here. Now we find the people in this parable. We have a wicked judge in verse number 2. We have a widowed Jewish lady in verse 3, and also the judge who is worldly also in verse number 4 and 5. So these are the people. Now, I want us to look at verse 6 through 8 here in this parable, and I want us to see the whole point of the parable here. What is the point of this parable? Look at verse number 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Now, here was this lady that was coming to court to the judge, asking here for her adversary to avenge me of my adversary, she said to the judge. Well, the judge kind of ignored her. But she came back another day. She came back. Her persistence got the message to the judge that she needed help. You know, she wanted him to do something for her. But notice it says in verse number 6, "And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Faith on the earth. Did you realize this? It is on this earth only that there is a need for faith. On this earth only is there a need for faith. You think about lost people today that are in hell. They're feeling what they would not believe. They would not believe. They're feeling. Lost people, saints today that are in heaven, they're enjoying that which they did believe. Their faith in Christ, they're enjoying that now. But lost people are not. So we see that faith is only needed in this life. When we get to where Jesus is, our faith will become what? Sight. It'll become a reality to us. We'll be where we have longed to be for all these years and trusting Christ as our Savior and trying to live for Him. Faith is that great thing that Jesus looks for in us. When Jesus in compassion looks down today upon the children of men that do not ask, is there faith? He has compassion. He has compassion upon those that do not ask, is there faith? He also sees, looks, and inquires upon us, those that have applied ourselves to Him. He looks to us at our faith, at our faith. So if there were faith, even little faith on the earth, we know that God would know about it because He has His eye is upon the very weakest believer. He knows all of our faith, how much faith we have. He knows that. But man, when Christ comes down to the earth, we find He's going to find but little faith compared to what one might expect. Jesus said Himself right here in verse number 8, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on this earth," on the earth. You know, we see here, in general, what is he speaking about? He's saying, first of all, when Jesus comes, he will find but few good people. There's going to be few, but just a few good people when Jesus comes. I believe that with all my heart. Many today, you know, have a form and a fashion of godliness, don't they? But we find they have no faith. They're not sincere and they're not honest about serving the Lord and living for the Lord. Very few people have that today. We see the world is growing worse and worse, is it not? Bad it is, and it will be bad, always. Bad it will be. It's not going to change. The world's not going to change, you see. So faith we're talking about in particular now, we see that he's going to find few that have faith concerning his coming when he comes. I'm afraid not too many of us today are really looking for the Lord to come. We're not really looking for the Lord to come. Oh, we say we are, but are we? Are we really looking for the Lord to come? You know, whenever you have invited a guest to your house for dinner for whatever reason, there's a lot of things that you do that you don't normally do, right? I mean, you tack up things. You know, you have everything in order to the best you can. You know, because you're looking for that guest to come. Well, that's the way it ought to be, looking for the Lord to come. Every day of our life, we should check up. And we should realize that, hey, He could come today. He could come today. He could come before we leave this church today. You know, how many of us are really looking for the Lord to come? That's when Jesus said, you know, there's not going to be much faith on this earth when I come. Not too many people are living for me. Not too many people are literally looking for me to come when he comes down to this earth to take us home, you see. But we know that God's people, oftentimes we get weary, don't we? Oftentimes we get concerned. You know, I would love for the Lord to come. We say this a lot. You know, are we really looking for him to come? Are we really looking for him to come? We see here that God's time to appear for his people is when things are brought to the last extreme, so to speak. In other words, I'm saying that God's people, when God's people begin to say, he's forsaken us. He's forsaken us. We also see that it's our comfort that when the time appointed comes, it will appear that the unbelief of man has not made the promise of God to no effect. In other words, what God promises in the fact he's going to do it. God said he's going to come back, didn't he? He's going to come back. Regardless of whether I am believing it or not, he's going to come back. It doesn't change what God's plans doesn't change because of me. God's plans doesn't change because of anybody. God has his own plans. And he's going to work it out. He's going to work it out. So will he find faith on the earth? Is our thought for this month, okay? Will Jesus find faith on earth when he comes? Now, what can we do about this? What are we can we do, or what will we do about this as we look at this thing of faith? Now, I want you to turn over to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, just for Revelation. This book is a precious book. It's only got 25 verses in it. But there's so much here to look at. We're talking about faith. We're talking about faith, folks. We find here in the book of Jude, just to, first of all, give an introduction more or less about it, we find that Jude is a brother of James, okay? Half-brother of Jesus. We find Jude and his brothers, none of them believed in the ministry of Jesus Christ until after the resurrection. They didn't believe in him. They didn't believe what he was doing. It was sometime between the resurrection and the ascension of Christ that they trusted Christ and they believed what he was doing. See? And we find, of course, them and their mother was at the upper room on one occasion together after that. But we find the purpose of the book of Jude is to remind us as a church to keep strong faith and to defend it against error. Folks, there's a lot of errors being taught today. A lot of things that are being taught that are not true. And we are to defend the truth. Defend the truth. We're to stand for the truth. Now, this book is written to all believers. All believers. And only believers. We see also, as we give a brief outline, the first 16 verses in this book, verses 1 through 16, are talking about the dangers of false teachers. The dangers of false teachers. Also, the last 17 verse 17 through 25 is talking about our duty to fight for God's truth. To fight for God's truth. You know, isn't it natural in life for us to defend with all our strength what's very precious to us? If it be your spouse, if it be your family, your children, your grandchildren, it's a natural instinct within us to fight, to defend that thing that is precious to us. And it always to be that way. Now the question is this. We know God's word and the gift of eternal life is of an infinite value, is it not? You cannot put a value on it. God's word and eternal life that he's given to us and to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see, therefore, we that trust Christ and are children of Christ, he has entrusted unto us this his word and this eternal life. He's entrusted to us as his faithful followers. And therefore, since he has placed it on us, given it to us, and we as children now, we find that we are to defend God's word. We're to stand against false teachings that we may run into from day to day. God's truth stands. It carries. It's to be defended by those of us that live our Christ for God, his Son. We should defend the truth whenever we find error, you see. We find that defending the truth, the Word of God, is an important task. It's very important, folks. It's very important. I would today that more of God's people would stand than do. I mean, when we sense, you know, I'm so thankful for this. We have the Holy Spirit within us as God's children, don't we? And when somebody opens, quote, the Word of God, and they begin to read and to speak the Word of God, we have a witness within us. I don't know how to ask Brother Tower. I don't have to ask Brother Brian. We have the Holy Spirit within us to sense and to understand, hey, this is not right. Or either this is right, this is what I need to hear, this is what I want to hear. So I'm thankful that built within every born-again child of God, you have and I have the ability to know what is truth and to know what is error whenever we listen. I'm thankful we have that. It's a very important task, folks, to be in a church that teaches the Word of God, that preaches the Word of God, that practices the Word of God amongst the believers in that church. This is a very important thing in our day in which we live. You listen to the news, you read the headlines, and you see it's everywhere today. There's a great falling away from the Word of God, from the truth. And I want to be one in these last days that's going to stand for the truth and not go and listen to the error that is out there in the world today. So we need to be careful. It's a very important task. It's a big responsibility that we have, children of God. God has given us His Word. God has saved us. He's given us eternal life. Now we have a big responsibility to stand for the truth. To stand for the truth that we know from the Word of God. It's a big responsibility. It's also a privilege. Isn't it a privilege to stand up for your Savior? Isn't it a privilege to stand up for God, the one who loves you, the one who's given you eternal life? He's given you everything that you need in this life. He's forgiven us abundant life, as Jesus says. And not only that, He's given us a home in heaven one day to be with Him throughout eternity. My, what a joy it is to be able to stand. And what a privilege it is to be able to stand for the one who has done so much for us. We can never do too much for Him. We can never do too much for Him. So we need to realize it's a privilege. We see Jude's message here is to Christians in this book. It is designated to Christians. He's telling us, first of all, opposition is going to come. You can count on it. Opposition from God's Word is going to come in your day. It's going to come. He's also saying that godless teachers are going to rise up. And my, aren't they rising up everywhere? They're popping up like popcorn, aren't they? Godless teachers. People that don't know the Word of God. People that are just out there saying what they want to say. They're not saying the truth, you see. And also, he's saying that Christians should contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. Defend the faith. You know, I don't have to prove this book to anybody. It stands alone. But I need to defend it. I need to defend it whenever it's taught wrong. When somebody says something wrong about this book, I need to let them know that it's wrong and take the Word of God and show them from that, you see. So we see now, how much do we value the truth? How much do we devalue our faith? How much do we value our faith? You see, how much do we value God's Word in our life? Is it really our life? Is it really our everything, the Word of God? Is it really precious to us like it ought to be? How much do we value it? How much do we value the fellowship of the church? Being together with God's people in one mind, in one accord, teaching and hearing, taught and preached the Word of God, and knowing that this is what we all need. We all need to hear it. We all need to apply it in our lives daily, you see. How much do we value these things? The Word of God and also the fellowship. How much do we value obeying Jesus? How much do we value obeying Him? He's given us a great commission to tell the whole world about Him. He's given us the opportunity also to tell people about Him. But how much do we value these things? See, we're to contend for the faith. That's what Jude is trying to say to all believers, to all people that will take heed and listen to what he's saying here. Now, when we look at the book of Jude, we see his name, Jude himself, means praise. Praise. He's trying to encourage children of God and let them know the earnest warning they have here. It's a warning, and it's very sincere, to defend the faith of the age in which they live in. We live in an age of what we call apostasy. That is the falling away. People are falling away from the truth. That's why we find many times so many different, quote, versions of the Bible being written. People are falling away from the truth. They say, I don't understand the King James Bible. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of things in the Bible I don't understand. A lot of things in the Bible I'll never understand, and you will neither. But I have, like I said before, I have the Holy Spirit within me, and so do you. And we'll ask him to help us, to give us understanding. He will. He will. Now, it's going to not just take, not just asking him, it's going to take some studying. It's going to take some reading. It's going to take some, get you a good Bible dictionary and a good concordance. And you can take those two things with God's help, the Holy Spirit, and God will enable all of us to understand his word. He will. Through the teaching that we have, the preaching we have, through the fellowship we have one with another, talking about the word of God, he gives us that. This book was addressed to the churches who were exposed to false teachers. However, it was not addressed to any particular church, any particular person or family, just those in general who were facing these things of apostate teachers in their assemblies. He's addressing it to them. It is designed to warn us as believers against those kind of people. Those kind of people will come to us in a way that they look like they're great. But follow along, listen to what they say, listen to the Word of God. They're seducers, folks. False teachers are seducers. They will deceive you. They will deceive me. And we need to be careful about this. Jude says that we need, the Bible here we're given to Jude, that it might help us and inspire us to be in charge, looking up for these things with love. You know, people that are out here telling error, we need to treat them with love. We really do. And let them know, hey, this is not what my Bible says, you know. And be compassionate about it, but yet be firm with it too. You know, when we run into this kind of situation. We see here it should be a hearty concern for the truth. We should have a heart that is concerned only for the truth, that is the Word of God. My heart's concerned, Pastor says so many times, I don't want to know who's right. I want to know what's right. That's the most important thing, to know what is right. And what is right is found from Genesis to Revelation. Okay? And sometimes we have to dig for it. We have to search for it. So, first of all, we're going to look at the problem of apostasy, verses 1 through 4. What are the problems with false teaching? Falling away from the Word of God. What is the problem with that? What is the problem with that? We see, again, apostasy means a falling away. Turn back to 2 Thessalonians. Let's read a few verses. 2 Thessalonians, and let's see, chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Falling away. Look at verse number 1. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 1. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a what? Falling away first. The coming of the Lord will not come unless a falling away first. Notice it says, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Notice, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. My, what a time it's going to be, folks. What a time it's going to be. A real believer, I believe it's on my heart, a born-again child of God, a real believer today, that God brings back from falling away through chastisement or even suffering. A true believer will come back through chastisement or suffering. He will come back, or if they don't, God will remove that believer by taking his life. I believe that with all my heart. A person who falls away, a true believer. I'm talking about a true believer now that falls away. God's going to chastise us. God's going to cause us to suffer. He's going to do everything he can to get us back. But if we still don't come back to God, I have seen, I have witnessed in my life, God taking the lives of people because of that. A born-again child of God. Listen, we're not to harm the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not here for that. We're here to edify. We're here to build up. We're here to strengthen believers that are believers and help those that are not believers to become believers, not to tear down, not to tear down. And we find this to be true here. See, apostasy is to be distinguished from ignorance or lack of knowledge. It's somebody that knows something but yet goes against it. In other words, it's somebody that deliberately rejects the deity of Christ and the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They deliberately reject that teaching. Therefore, they are falling away from the truth, falling away from error, falling away from the Word of God, maybe we should say. So we find here that it's necessary, Jude said, that we be people that would stand for the truth, stand against error. We need to do that. Now, again, we said that Jude was the brother of James, who was the pastor of the first church there in Jerusalem. So he was. And we see him and his brothers, they didn't come to know Christ and live for him until after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that the beginning of the age of the church is described as the Acts of the Apostles. On the other hand, we see that the end of the church age is set forth in the book of Jude here, what we might call as the Acts of the Apostates. Apostates, those that are falling away, is who they are. Jude is the only book in the Bible that is entirely devoted to the great apostasy. It's the only book in the Bible. There's only 25 verses in it. But these verses are dedicated for that reason, for that purpose, you see. Without Jude, we find that the prophetic picture will not even be in the Bible. You know, it wouldn't be completed without him, we see. Jude brings the teachings of the entire Bible about apostasy to its final climax, if you please. In the book of Jude, we find it there. Jude has been called the judges of the New Testament. The judges of the New Testament, the book of Jude has. We find that Jude was, in verse number 3, we find, he was intended to write about our common salvation. But the Holy Spirit of God would not let him do that. He deterred him to write about this thing of contending for the faith, defending the faith that we have here. You see, in Jude's days, apostasy was like a cloud in the sky by like your hand. But apostasy in our day in which we live is like a hurricane. It's over us all the time. We see it everywhere. Apostasy is everywhere, falling away, falling away. I was talking with a guy this week, a pastor. He was telling me about a young man. He's in his early 20s. He's only been saved about a year and a half. This young man, this past month, went off to some convention somewhere, quote, Christian. And he said, this young man come back, and he's come to me, and he's so confused right now. I'm having a hard time getting him back to even believe the Bible because of where he went and what he heard. Folks, listen, these places, these conventions, these things, you better be leery of them. You know, if the Word of God is not what we believe is right, the King James Bible, listen, you need to get away from it. Stay away from it. My wife and I were going to a meeting one time, and we went, and we paid, went in, it was a charge, a little bit of charge. We went in and sat down, and we began to look at one another, and when the actual thing was going to begin, we knew without any doubt, hey, this is not where we need to be. So we're going to go. We went out to the front of the church there where the lobby was, and the lady says, is there a problem? I simply say, yes, we're not in the right place. That's all I said. And she gave us some money back, we left. Listen, be careful where you go. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful even to the radio stations you listen to. The TV stations, be careful of the people you listen to on TV. There's false teachers out there that are going to direct you the wrong way if you're not careful. You need to be careful what you listen to. You know, if I don't know somebody say, have you ever heard so-and-so preach or so-and-so teach? If I don't know them, I say, no, I never have. And they say, you ought to. Well, maybe I should, but I'm going to check them out first. Because I don't want to listen to a false teacher. I don't want to listen to it. I don't want to waste my time, you see. So it's a question now. It is a question now of how much worse it's going to be before genuine believers are taken by the rapture. How much worse is it going to be? Apostate. How much worse is it going to be before we as believers are going to be taken out of this world and be with the Lord? You know, Jesus says, will I find faith on earth when I come? Will I find faith on earth when I come? I trust that every one of us will contend for the faith. We'll stand up against error and wrong teaching. Don't have nothing to do with it, folks. Don't have nothing to do with it. It calls you to get on the wrong road. It will. I've said, we've heard people here say, I'm not a match for Satan, and neither are you. Except the grace of God. For the grace of God, I could fall. Every one of us could fall apart from the grace of God. And my prayer is that God's grace will enable us to stand in these last days, especially against these things, these teachings that are error, and stand for the truth. Dear Lord, we thank you for the Word of God that is truth. We're thankful, dear God, that we have the opportunity to share the truth, Lord, with people week after week. Dear God, I pray, Lord, you'd help us as your children, Lord, to take heed, Lord, of what we hear daily as we go from our jobs and from place to place. Lord, you give us the ability, give us the compassion, give us the discernment that we need. Thank you for the Word of God that we have that is truth. Lord, bless your Word now as we go into the next service. Lord, I pray for the music. I pray for the singing. I pray for the preaching. Lord, that God's word will be brought forth in power. Dear God, that you might be honored and glorified. And Lord, that if there's one in our midst that's lost, that they might be saved and trust Christ today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.